Welcome back to CWC Dive Deep. We're grateful you've decided to join us as we take a deeper look into this past week's sermon discussing how to pursue God and grow in our faith. I'm your host, Caleb Swartz, and joining me today is Pastor Arley. Welcome, PA.
Thank you, Caleb. Good to be here.
Glad to have you. As we continue in our series, Who Cares?
Who cares?
Who cares? Well, we sure do.
And God does.
And God certainly cares. And the focus of this week was really on leadership, mm-hmm. and that leadership matters. Mm-hmm. So as you were preparing this, what are just some thoughts that you had or responses that you want to give to your preparation?
I don't think there's probably anything that someone who is trying to communicate a message could be more encouraged than to hear people say, "We talked about that after we left." Because it's telling me that, like, okay, we're hitting something that's stirring up thoughts in people's minds that goes deeper. Mm-hmm. And so I've heard that a lot in the last few weeks. And mm-hmm. so I'm really encouraged by that, to think that whatever God is doing, he's moving in a more significant way. I am by nature and by person am not a confronter. Mm-hmm. And so these are confrontational messages. Mm. And so they're probably much more intense than I realized before I started. Yeah. So as I was preparing and thinking, this would be a great, I want to use another prophet in the Old Testament who would speak to the people. And I thought, oh, that would be a good one. And so I started moving in that direction. Little did I realize how intense it was. Mm. But as far as takeaway, what I'm really feeling and believing, God is, I really felt like God is stirring our hearts how deeply we need revival in our world, in our country, and how far away we've moved from our moral, you know, standard that really needs to be held in our culture. And I'm not saying that the unbelievers need to act like Christians. Mm-hmm. I'm not at all saying that. I'm saying that the believers need to act like Christians. Mm. And I really feel that more and more the challenge is before us to say, am I going to take that challenge? And I guess as I was preparing, thinking about it, the issue of integrity, I know I've encountered so many times of lack of integrity in leaders. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking Christian leaders.
Yeah.
That it's just disturbed me like so much. And I think, why and what's happened that we could tolerate that or let that take place? And so I guess I wanted to make sure that the message was clear and strong to say, hey, guys, we got to do something. We've got to do something.
Right. Because I think there's almost an expectation that there's not integrity in most of leadership, and especially as we had, you know, one guest kind of write in for today's content, just questioning the integrity of our political leaders. And, you know, how do we as Christians respond to that when we see the lack of integrity? Do you want to respond to some of those thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I try to be really careful about walking a line politically in what I share to our congregation. I know I have a right to share my opinion, but I try not to. I try to just give the biblical kind of injunctions, because I guess it's my personal feeling that we need to be a people who are biblically based, not politically based. Although I certainly would say I lean conservative, and that's, you know, exactly what I believe should be a part. But I really lean more biblically, I guess that's how I want to say it, than anything else. And so when our president, for example, would do something that I would support biblically, I would, you know, like to acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. Because I think we as Christians need to do that. Do I acknowledge then other things when there's failures or whatever? And I really don't. I've never done that in any of the leaders that have been in leadership. I've always just encouraged our congregation to pray for leaders and pray for their president. That doesn't give my support. It just is following what the biblical injunction says, that we are to pray for our leaders. And I prayed for the previous president publicly and encouraged our congregation to, whether they agree or not. I encourage them now, whether you agree or not. Mm-hmm. I have my own personal feelings, I'm always disappointed in leadership when there's a lack of integrity that is demonstrated. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't matter where it is. And I'm not willing to, you know, set up any example for people to necessarily follow in a political kind of thing. But I am encouraged when I see political leaders really take a position on the side of a biblical model or a faith model that we would carry.
Yeah, and I can say from experience, you know, I've spent the last couple of presidency terms here at this church and really paying attention. And I mean, it really has been. We've celebrated when we've seen policies or action taken to support what the Bible would call us to. And there have been a number of times where you've called us all to pray on behalf of our leadership and our president and anyone that's really making big political decisions.
And, you know, I'm not sure I know any politicians that I would kind of put forth as sterling integrity. And I'm just grateful when they make good decisions. I don't hold them up as a paragon of integrity by any means.
And I think just, you know, we as fellow believers, we can have these types of conversations and we should. We need to be gentle with one another and not really demonize any one side.
I really, that bothers me on any side. I think it's just, I try to encourage people not to get into the political debates because it alienates people. I mean, in my own family, there's a very different opinion in what our belief systems are as far as politics. I think that's kind of natural, but we just know there are certain conversations we just don't dig into too deeply. And we keep unity and we keep, you know, what needs to happen. And I really believe that that's true for the body of Christ.
Yeah. And I can say from experience, you know, one of my very best friends is on the very far other side of the spectrum from where I sit. And we've been able to have intelligible and really beneficial conversations where we can find common ground and understand one another. And I think that's really what we're called to. So kind of coming back to the text and looking at Malachi and what's being presented here, you know, there are... You made reference to the covenant of life and peace and the tie-in to what Jesus would say later on. Why is presenting those kind of two statements so important? And what's kind of the bigger picture that's going on here
community? I think that it's in contemporary thought, and a number of leaders actually, Christian leaders I'm referring to, there's kind of a denial of the Old Testament and its validity and value. And I really feel that we need to be cautious in that whole perspective and realize that the God of the Old Testament is not different than the Jesus of the New Testament. And so I think there's things that we need to just really key into that are similar, that help us to see the parallels between the two. And, you know, the God of the Old Testament said, you know, I want you to be able to have peace and life. And the God of the New Testament says the same thing. And so I was really hoping that, you know, people could say, aha, like, and start maybe relating more to. And, you know, I've said it's really hard to take our 21st century brain and stick it into that, you know, pre kind of time period, even BC. To really understand and think and see around. But to be honest, we can't even take our brain and stick it 20 years ago.
Right.
I mean, it's just so changed and things are so different now than what they were. So it's it's just really hard. And that's why I think there's a great importance of trying to both understand the culture and then look at the bigger picture. What can we take away from it that would teach us and we can be able to, you know, grasp as a result?
Yeah, because you'll hear a term used with this conversation is unhitch. So they won't say, let's throw it away, but they'll say, we want to unhitch it from, you know, the Old Testament, from the New Testament. And that's a very shaky line to walk.
Almost every book, except I think one, in the Old Testament was quoted in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and Jesus was very, very definite in what he said in regard to the Old Testament. So I guess I question, how do they get there? I mean, how do you get, like, you can be able to, you know, say that it's only what Jesus says or only what's in the New Testament that we can be able to rely on, because, you know, there's no place in that.
Right. And that cultural context is so important, because, I mean, let alone understanding the mindset 20 years ago, we can't understand mindsets that are living right beside us when we've never experienced what they've gone through.
Correct.
I mean, when you think about things like oppression, my gosh, I've never faced any type of oppression for the most part. I have no idea what they've gone through and how that changes how you see things and face the world.
Yep.
And we need to be so mindful of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just a very different world. Yeah.
So PA, I'm curious, why does God keep referring to himself as the Lord of Heaven's armies?
Don't you love that title? It's just exciting.
Uh-huh.
Because when I think of army, I think of this massive amount of people or creation that is a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel that it's like this whole issue of spiritual warfare that is really happening around, and that he has this massive group of angels that are, you know, supporting and coming along behind. And he is the Lord of Heaven's armies. I just think that's a really cool thing. And it helps remind us of the greatness and the significance of who God is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, in case you forgot, I am the Lord of Heaven's armies. Right. Just so you remember.
Yeah. I haven't wiped you out yet, but...
but I have the power to do that.
Right.
Don't make me push that button.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, he's angry. He's angry, but he's really citing his authority.
Yeah.
I have the authority to do this. I have the power to do this.
Mm.
You know, I want you to know, you've got to clean up this act. You've got to live life different.
And I think it's also a call of hope, too. If you look at it, he's saying, you know, if you respond to this, you'll have a whole army behind you.
Yes.
I will fight for you.
Yep.
And so I think that's a component that we need to see here, too. It's not just the be intimidated. It's the come in and join this.
Sure. Yeah. Because he's going to pour out a blessing if we do.
Yeah. So a final thought or challenge you'd like to leave listeners with this week?
I think that this whole message of how we demonstrate integrity and how we really keep our word and keep our promises, I don't think we realize how much we're impacting the next generation and how much we're impacting those that are around us. But we're all influenced, like it or not, we're all influenced by different things. And when we see a strong, powerful, positive role model, we want to know what is a part of that and how can that be a part of my life? And I guess the challenge to each one is to say, how are you going to keep your word? And it may cost you. And how are you going to work through that? If you've broken agreements or promises, how are you going to restore them? And how are you going to do that? I think it's so easy for all of us to be critical of others without looking deeply into ourselves.
Mm.
And so I guess the great importance is I want to make sure my life is one of integrity. And I want to know that I keep my word and I'm faithful to the promises that I make. And I'm hoping that that's the message people are hearing and they're wanting to see that in their lives. God keeps his promises. And we should too.
Hmm. Well, thanks for joining us today, Pastor Arley.
Yeah, thank you.
And thanks for joining us on CWC Dive Deep. I hope you were encouraged today, and join us next Monday as we continue our series, Who Cares? And if you missed last week's episode, you can access that online at cwc.life, where we provide you with sermon notes, weekly study material, and other great messages to dive into. Have a great week.